Let us all say amen.
Amen.
We all ought to be thanking God.
Thank you.
This morning that we're able to assemble here to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Amen.
Let me say good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to Highland Heights. If you're visiting with us, we don't want you to be a stranger. We want you to understand that here at Highland Heights, we want to show you love. And you are, if you're visiting with us, you are VIPs. And we want to just thank you for your presence on this morning. And I like to always begin this morning, I'm out the pulpit, is just bringing us to mind of why we came this morning. Amen? Now turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says two things in verse 42 and verse number 47. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. So when we come to worship God, we have five acts of worship that they participated in when they assembled. The Bible says the first one was the apostles' doctrine. We're going to teach from the apostles' teaching on this morning. Also, fellowship is when you share with God what God has blessed you with. We call it offering. You give back to the Lord as the Lord has blessed you with. Amen?
Yeah.
And we give faithfully. And then he says, in breaking of bread, that's communion that we went through on this morning. Thank you, my brother. And then the Bible says, and in prayers. We had brothers come up and pray for us on this morning. Those are four of the acts. And then the fifth act, the Bible says, and praising God. We sing with the fruit of our lips, not with mechanical instrument. We praise God with the fruit of our lips. And then Luke wrote, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. My hope this morning, if you're here visiting with us this morning, that there's only two places we can be spiritually in the world. Either we're going to be added to the church, or we're in the world. Amen. Yeah. And so my hope this morning is that you will obey the Lord, understanding the teaching from the Bible. You obey the Lord, and that you will be saved from your past sins by obeying the Lord. And when you do that, the Lord, not man, the Lord adds you to the church. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Also, we just want to bring us to mind that, just remind us again that what we're doing this morning together, we are as, and that's in my second letter I'm going to this morning. Paul said in the letter, he said, to study, to show thyself approved unto God. So we are studying this morning the Word of God. And the only way we can show approval to God is when we do what God says do.
Amen.
Yeah. That's why Jesus said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken them unto a wise man. So it's not just hearing the Word of God. You and me have to do what the Bible says do. If not, all we'll do is just come in here going through the motions.
That's right.
You know, sometimes you go to school and just go through the motions. Yeah, or you can go to school and get an education.
That's it.
Yeah. But I hope this morning you're here to be educated from the Word of God. Amen? And so that's why we're here. And it's my responsibility, let me show you where I fall at. My responsibility to rightly divide the word of truth.
Amen.
Yeah, and I want to say to you all, I want to make sure everybody knows that you have a right to question me on anything that I preach.
Amen. There you go.
Anything. And now, my job is to simply share with you the word of God. And generally when I try to preach a message, I try to make it again. I say it, try to make it simple and make it logical.
Amen.
So you can understand it.
Right.
Let's look at the Word of God this morning. We're moving into our second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And I want to preface this morning as we go into 2 Timothy. And I think Brother LeJames read, I had given verses 6 and 7, but it should have actually been verses 5 and 6. Yeah, because that's where my title come from. Verses 5 and 6 should have been read, but that's on the preacher. Amen. The preacher make mistakes too. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. As long as I don't make a mistake with the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is the Apostle Paul's second letter to Timothy. However, when he wrote this letter, he was facing certain death at the hands of the Romans. And he said that in this letter. You'll see when he said, I have fought a good fight, I have kept the faith. Yeah, Paul knew he was headed to execution. He was going to die. So this letter is written with the mindset that you're going to die. So if I was writing something and I was facing death, that's serious. And I'm going to say those things that I think will be best for you in your life. So when Paul wrote to Timothy, this second letter is about encouraging him as he was about to leave. And so my title is, he talked in there about the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Timothy had a faith that was unfeigned. We'll talk about that. That was in him. So those scholars this morning, education people, three things we want to look at this morning from the Word of God. Number one, what I believe is the most important spiritual item that a grandparent or parent can give to their grandchild or child. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I believe, most important thing, we find in the text. Secondly, want to look at each individual person being on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. That's an individual question. We'll talk about how we can see whether we're on fire or not. Yeah, it's not difficult to understand. Yeah. And then thirdly, we want to speak this morning concerning the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't hear much about that.
Nope.
Yeah. But I want us to have a clear, a logical understanding of the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. How does it work? In the life of a Christian, how is it? Do I possess the Holy Spirit? How do I get the Holy Spirit? Yeah. It's right there in the text. Amen? Let's look at our lesson this morning.
All right.
Paul began by saying that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. So Paul said first that he was an apostle. That's important. And he was an apostle by the will of God. In other words, it was God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but understand this here. We need to know this here. Anyone can refuse God's will. Yeah.
Right.
You cannot do what God wants you to do.
That's right.
But Paul said it was the will of God. He said according to the promise. The promise here means the giving of, he said, of life. And this life is eternal life, which is in Christ Jesus. So in order to have eternal life, I got to be in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if I'm not in Christ,
mm-hmm,
and I die, I cannot have or receive. We talked about that last week. We cannot have eternal life.
That's right.
And Paul identified his right to say to Timothy, my beloved, my dearly beloved son, he said, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. See, when we pray for people, we pray three things. We want to pray, one, for grace. Grace is favor from God. Then we want to pray for a person, pray for mercy. Mercy is sympathy from God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we want to pray for peace, that we have a proper relationship with God that gives me peace. And Paul told Timothy, this is from God the Father, who is the designer of man's salvation. And then he says, and Christ Jesus, our Lord, who is the instrument of man's salvation. Mm-hmm. And so when he talked about Timothy, the thing we want to know about Timothy from Acts chapter 16, it teaches us something about the relationship, because he said Timothy was his beloved son in the gospel. Not his biological, but his son in the gospel. How did that happen? In Acts 16, the Bible says, then came he, talking about Paul, to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. Timothy's mother was a Christian. However, there is not mention that concerning his father, because when the Bible says believed, that means generally someone has obeyed the gospel. We'll see in the text later on how one is believed, and when they're baptized, it's referred to as believed. So Timothy's mother was a Christian. And his father hadn't obeyed the Lord. The Bible says people knew this, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Derbe. It had been conversation about Timothy, that you know his mother is a Christian, but his father is not a Christian. We can have families here where one person is a Christian and the other person may not be a Christian. That can happen. You would hope that if I'm not a single parent and I'm married, that both of us become Christians. But that's not the case with Timothy. Bible never mentions his father. All they said, you know, he was a Greek. Yeah, but his mother, she obeyed. And then Paul said concerning this, when you have a situation where one, and it can be even in a married home, with both of them are married. If one is faithful to the Lord and the other one is not faithful, it could affect the spiritual development of that child.
That's right.
Yeah. Because now the child sometimes have to choose who they're going to follow.
Mm.
Yeah. They're going to have to choose. You know, sometimes you have a situation where husband and wife, one goes one place, one is denominational, another may be a Christian, and then the child has to choose which one they're going to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? That can be a different situation. It can hinder that child's development spiritually. Yeah. That's the case we're looking at with Timothy. And the Bible says, him would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which was in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. Yeah, his father wasn't a Christian. So Paul took him and he circumcised him. So Paul, Timothy became his son in the gospel. Amen? And then Paul said in the letter, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in prayers night and day. Paul said that I serve God with a pure heart. Now, a pure heart, a pure conscience, when the word they're pure, is talking about being free from corrupt desires. And I'll give an example of that in my lesson this morning. What does that mean? But when your mind is pure, you don't have those thoughts finding a place to live in you that are corrupt. Paul said, my conscience is pure. And then we talk about conscience. Conscience is the part of the mind that understands the will of God and is designed to govern our lives. So we all have a conscience. And through the will of God or the word of God, my conscience, based on the word of God, is supposed to govern my life.
Right.
How I live. That's what Paul said. Yeah. I serve from my forefathers and my conscience is pure. I'm allowing the will of God to govern my life. Then he said, concerning you, Timothy, he said, I remember you in my prayers night and day. Yeah. We as Christians, because we are the only people that have access to God through prayer. Yeah. And let me say this while I go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me say this while I'm here. Sometimes we in a relationship and me and Sister Stroud throwing punches at each other. And we arguing and fussing at each other. And if ain't nobody looking, we start cussing one another. And we think, we come here on Sunday morning, and we think that God, I'm praying to God, and God gonna bless me. Yeah. But Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 3, let you use your Bibles this morning. Peter says, well, let me help us out a little bit here, because the brother asked me this question this morning. I said, let me bless you this morning. Let me bless us this morning. Let's start at verse number, 1 Peter 3 and number 6. Because I'm talking to the sisters now, then I'm going to talk to the brothers too. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. 1 Peter 3 and verse 6. Mm-hmm. Peter said, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, he says, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any of them. In other words, when you have a sister that's being obedient to her husband, obeying her husband. Yeah. Peter said, when you do that, you are the daughters of Sarah. Because Sarah did that. Yeah, and I was telling my brother there, and I'll share this, so it wouldn't be just there. And Ephesians chapter 5, about verse 33, the Bible says that the wife should have. Let me get there. Let me see. Work with the family this morning. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians chapter 5. Let me help a marriage here this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse number 33. The Bible says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, talking to the man now, so love his wife even as himself. That means if I love myself, I should love Sister Stroud just like I love myself. I don't go around punching on myself. I don't go around cussing myself out. I don't go around fussing with myself. So love his wife even as himself. Then he said to the wife, and I shared my brother this morning, thank you for the conversation. He said, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Now, what reverence means, now use me and Sister Stroud. God, use y'all, I know y'all. So, what the Lord is saying to Sister Stroud is that, Sister Stroud, you are here, right here. But when it comes to your husband, he's up here. Let me explain that. What the Lord is saying to the wife, you are to put your husband on a pedestal and lift him up. And now, as I share with my brother, her putting me on a pedestal, I'm using some bad English here, ain't based on whether I'm a good husband or not.
Huh.
Sometimes, some sisters say, well, if he do what he's going to do, then no, that's not what God said to you. See that you have reverence. It ain't based on conditions. So what I'm saying, if I'm the sorriest husband in America, she still is to put me in reverence. Don't miss this, sisters. Don't miss this. There is no conditions when the Lord said it. Let me read that, make sure I'm saying it right. And the wife, see that she reverence, honors her husband. Now let me flip this over. If Sister Stroud can't cook a lick, and if she won't keep the house clean worth nothing, God says to me to love her.
Amen.
I'm still supposed to provide for her. She is my queen. And it's not based on how good a wife she is to me. Or for me. See, we get ourselves in trouble when we start putting stuff in text that ain't there.
Add to and take away.
That's it.
Add to and take
away. Now let's go back to Peter.
Go back to Peter.
Yeah. Talking about prayer. 1 Peter 3, I was on verse 6. So, the wife, as Sarah honored her husband, the Lord says to the sisters, when you do have the mindset that Sarah had concerning Abraham, then you are the daughter of Sarah. Amen. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to
knowledge.
Let me help us with that. He says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that, here we go, that your prayers be not
hindered.
So, the text says, if I'm not, now that knowledge here is not talking about the Bible. Yeah, Bible knowledge. What the Lord is saying in that text, the word is actually experiential knowledge. That means knowledge based on experience. In other words, I know what Sister Stroud likes, I know what she don't like. And so what the Lord is saying to me, I got to dwell with her according to my knowledge of her. See, sometimes brothers get in trouble by trying to compare their wife to somebody else's wife.
Ah.
Yeah, don't know sister want you to come home saying, well, you know so-and-so, she look good.
Uh-oh.
I almost said something here.
Ah.
I remember I was baptized. Yeah. You know, sister want you to come home. Yeah, and you know how nice she look. Oh, watch this here now. You know, you get back home and sister say, boy, you saw brother so-and-so, he sure look. I think somebody said this, I think it was in Bible class recently. Maybe my sister said it. The Lord says in 2 Corinthians that when you compare things to things, that's not wise.
Hmm.
Don't compare. Don't compare. That's my wife.
Amen.
Yeah. And I'm supposed to dwell with her according to my knowledge of her.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember one time we first got married and I used to leave the dresser drawers out because I was single. It don't matter what you do when you're by yourself. So I got married and I left the dresser drawer out, and I remember one time Sister Out ran to that drawer and hit her leg on that drawer. Ouch! She said, "Best route." Don't leave this drawer out anymore. So experience teaches me. Don't do that no more, brother. Do that no more. That makes sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The point I'm making is, when a husband and wife are not dwelling together, Peter said, your prayers are hindered. Yeah. Prayers are hindered. It's important that both of us try to encourage one another to be as faithful to God as we can. Amen?
Amen.
And Paul said, greatly desiring to see thee. That's what he told him. Greatly desiring to see thee. He said, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Paul said to Timothy, man, I want to see you. I want to see you again. Even though I'm facing the Romans' chopping block, he said, I want to see you again, that I may be filled with joy. There's some people, we should have relationships in the Lord that when we're with that person, it brings us
joy.
Yeah. There's some people you just pleased to be around.
Mm.
You're pleased to be. That's the relationship Paul had with Timothy. He said that I'm looking to see you, man, so I can feel my joy. That's what he said. Then he said, this is the verse. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. I said this morning, also a message. The most important thing, now we see here, that the grandmother gave her faith to her child.
And the mother gave her faith to Timothy. That's why Paul said, I am persuaded that is in thee also. Faith is so important in this life. Most important thing I can give my children is the faith that I have in Christ. Because that faith will carry them longer than anything else.
That's right.
This faith is handed down from the grandmother to mother and from the mother to the child. Not only was this faith taught and trained, but it was able to be transferred to the heart and the mind.
Right.
The most important thing a parent can give a child is your faith.
That's right.
Yeah. You give a lot, give them all the money. They'll blow money, believe me. Believe me. Give it to them. Watch it. Take wings. Yeah.
That's right.
But when you give them your faith in Christ, as Paul said, amen. That's why he was able to do this to him. And notice when Paul, even though his father hadn't obeyed the Lord because of the influence of his grandmother and his mother, when Paul got there to him, Paul taught him and Timothy became a Christian.
Right.
And so the Bible says, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. Paul was an apostle. Paul said, wherefore, I want to put you in remembrance. I want to remind you of something, Timothy. The word stir up in the text means to keep in full flame, meaning something burning. Paul said to Timothy, I want you to stay on fire for the Lord. So questions I have for us, including myself. Are we on fire for the Lord? Ask yourself that question. Okay. Are we using our talents for Jesus Christ? What are we doing to progress this congregation forward? I have to ask myself that. What am I actually doing here? I come to worship on Sunday. I leave. But am I doing anything with my talents that the Lord gave me? That's what he said. Paul told Timothy, I want to stir up in you the gift of God. He said that this gift came from the laying on of my hand. Let me close and look at this morning so we get a clear understanding. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and talk about the gift of God, Holy Spirit this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, a lot of scripture, so I just say I'll do this. So now by definition, the word gift is something provided to Christians by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse number 1 Corinthians 12, Paul said, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I don't want you to be unaware of this. I want you to know this. Now, he's talking about spiritual gifts. Then verse 4, we pick up there. He says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. He said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit. So notice now, there are 9 gifts that the Bible mentions. The first one, he says, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirit. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, so you had one people that could speak a language that they hadn't been taught, then another person could interpret the language. Those were gifts. Those were gifts. Let's look at the case study on the Holy Spirit and these gifts. Like Paul said, in this verse, he said, Timothy got it by the laying on of his hands. He said that. In Acts chapter 8, when Philip went into Samaria, the Bible says that there was great joy
in the city.
In the city. Great joy in the city. Yeah. Great joy in the city. Then he said, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Yeah, he bewitched the people using sorcery. The Bible says, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Now I want to say to us, people can fool you regarding their spirituality. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can think somebody real spiritual. Be careful. Mm. The Bible says here that he gave heed that he was some great prayer. He said, from the least to the greatest, they were saying, man, this is the great power of God. The Bible says, and to him, they gave regard because that of a long time, he had bewitched them through sorcery. He was using sorcery to deceive people.
Right.
The Bible says, however, then you had a preacher, Church of Christ preacher got there. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Just like us. Somebody taught us the word of God, taught us about the church. We got baptized. These people became what? Christians. Yeah. And let me say this to you in the audience this morning. The most important single act that any person who is of the age of accountability can do is to obey the Lord and become a Christian.
That's
nothing more important. Stay with the text. The Bible said, then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which was done. So now you got Simon became a Christian. Simon became a child of God. Simon became a member of the Church of Christ. Amen. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, those apostles.
Mm.
They said, man, we heard the word of Philip and went down there. And remember, we laid hands on him. Philip went down there and he preached to those people. And they obeyed the word of God. He talked about the key to church, about Jesus Christ. They obeyed. They became Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, Peter, John, y'all go down there. Who when they will come down, pray for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So what that tells us, simply by becoming a Christian, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Mm. Look at the text now. When Peter and John got there, they prayed for the people that hadn't obeyed that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now when the apostles, let me get that text again so we'll get this. I don't want us to miss this. They prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Remember now, the Holy Ghost, that was in 1 Corinthians 12, there was 9 spiritual gifts that were given by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, for as yet he, the Holy Ghost, will fall upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Baptized, they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. Bible says, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then, as Paul did with Timothy, laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. He realized for those people to have spiritual gifts that were needed in the emphasis of the church, that the apostles had to lay hands on a person for them to receive it. And so when he saw that, he offered them money. Saying, give me this power that on whomever I lay hands on. Give me this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he might receive the Holy Ghost. And Paul told, Peter told him in Acts chapter 8 and verse 20. Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Mm. Yeah. So we know, or we should know, that the only way a person received the Holy Spirit, it was by the laying on of the apostles' hands. Amen? Yeah. I want you to stay with the scriptures. So now, when I go back to this text that we read so often, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But we know now that those people that obeyed, the apostles had to lay hands on them for them to receive the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Yeah. So now my question, Brother Stroud, how does the Holy Ghost work in a Christian today? Amen?
Amen. That's what I want to know.
That's the question. Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, said, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So the law of God is in my inward man. He then said, but I see another law in my members. Mm-hmm. It's warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So what Paul was telling them, you can have the law of God in your mind, but you can also have the law of sin in you. So I got two laws in me. And understand that a law is designed to influence behavior.
Right.
What you mean, Brother Stroud? When I get on the freeway and I see the sign, the law says 60 miles an hour, that is supposed to influence my behavior. Yeah. Let me confirm something first. I'm gonna get there. I'm moving to a close. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I want us to see this. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to give an example. And I'm going to close this. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Peter wrote, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20. He said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by
the Holy Ghost.
So you had inspired men that wrote the word of God. Get from Ephesians 4:28. Show you how this works. You have the law in my mind, and then I have the law of sin. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 28, Paul wrote to the Ephesians. He said, let him that stole steal no more. That's the law of sin. That's the law of sin. I take something that don't belong to me. That's stealing. That's sinful. Paul said, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that need it. That's the law of the mind. So you have the law of God and the law of sin. And Paul said they warring against one another. Yeah. They warring. When I talked about Paul said his mind was pure. When you have corrupt stuff in you, when I want to steal, when I want to lie, when I want to commit fornication, when I want to commit adultery, that's the law of sin. That's why we have to study the word of God. So now I have the law of my mind, which is the word of God. Yeah. So now how does that work, Brother Stroud? Paul told the same letter in Romans. Paul said then, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So now today, we are led by the Spirit of God.
Right.
The Holy Ghost gave the word to inspire men. They put it in a book. Now we don't need miracles, signs, and wonders.
That's right.
We have the complete word of God.
Written word. That's it.
The complete word of God. Let me show you that. 1 Corinthians 12. I think it's worth teaching. 1 Corinthians 12. Paul said, Brother Gary did a good job on this when he came here. Note what he said. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse number 8. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, charity never fail, meaning love will never fail. He said, 1 Corinthians 13:8. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. And that's why Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Those spiritual gifts that was used were necessary when the church was a child.
That's right.
They don't need them anymore. How do you know that, Brother Stroud? Now notice that word perfect in verse number 10. Now, go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James said this in verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Watch verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now the word of God was complete. We now have the law of liberty. He said, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So today, we have the word of God. The Holy Spirit gave to God the word to men. We are led by the word of God. We're led by it. We're led by it. Yeah. Because there's no one, the only way that the Holy Ghost was received was by the laying on of the apostles' hand. So when all the apostles died,
that's right,
and everybody that had been touched died, there's no one else living.
There you go. There you go. Made it plain. That's right.
However, the word of God teaches me how to be a good husband. The word of God teaches me how to be a good father. The word of God teaches me how to be a good employer on the job.
That's right.
I'm being led by the Spirit because it's influencing my behavior.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
All things.
If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, not a Christian. Now I'm talking to you. I was talking to those that are Christians. Now I'm talking to you. I know my time has expired. I just want you to know that Jesus gave himself a ransom for you.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. I want you to know that God loved you enough, you here this morning, that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried in the tomb. He rose again the third day. What you must do to become a child of God, as we read already, we've already gone over it. You believe those facts, 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You have to believe that. Then, after believing, you repent of your sin. We know we have sin. Romans 3:23 says all have sinned. So now you repent of your sin, then you come forth, you'll make the confession as found in Acts 8:37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You made that confession. Then we'll do as we just read this morning. We will baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of all your past sins. We read that in Acts 2:38. And then you become a Christian. A child of God. The Lord then, as I said this morning, he adds you to the church. There's only one church. The church belongs to Christ. He paid for it with his blood. Acts 20 and 28. So there's someone today that would like to put Christ on in baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone, you're here this morning, you want to choose to serve with us.
Yes, sir.
This morning. Or you're here this morning and the message may have moved you to want to respond to it in any way, shape, or form you choose to. We want to encourage you to come down. If you need prayer, come down. That's what we talked about, praying for one another. Sometimes night and day for situations. We want to bid you to come as together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be Lord, I want to be.